may be possible that you're tired of me talking about the ongoing challenges of living in a world that wants to reduce everything to an either-or, to dualism or binary thinking, as the case might be. But I'm beginning to realize exactly how much of a straitjacket this is for us and how incredibly unhelpful it is. As somebody who's spent, well, most of my adult life doing what I can to pay careful attention to language and how it's used and what it means and how it affects us, this is just one of those things. It's always there. And then over the last several weeks, I've been enjoying Father Richard Rohr. He's a Franciscan monk, writer, lecturer, and a bunch of other things, who's been produces a devotional series. And he's often been talking about how this either-or way of looking at the world has caused us so many problems. And as I was looking at this morning's texts, I was looking at some of this language in here as well about servants and things. And, I mean, no one likes being a servant. I mean, no matter how many times you watch Downton Abbey, or no matter how many P.G. Wodehouse books you read about Jeeves and Worcester and all those people, we don't really like the idea of being a servant. We don't want to be a servant. I know I don't particularly want to be a servant. We don't have somebody someone who tells us what to do in that particular way. And so, of course, we think, well, if we don't want to be that, then we want to be the opposite of a servant, which, of course, is a master. But is it? That's just another opportunity for us to be messed up by this either-or thinking, because either-or thinking causes enough problems already. It's not always wrong, by the way. I mean, either you are here today, or you're not. I mean, there isn't some way that you can be sort of here and sort of somewhere else at the same time. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't things that break down nicely into one or two categories. Either you are one of my children, or in all of your cases, you aren't. So there are things like that. But when we think that everything's like that, it causes us problems, particularly when we get the or wrong. You're a servant or a master. Except Jesus says, no. In his case, if you're not a servant, you're a friend. And doesn't that change everything? Because if we look at our options, particularly as they relate to our relationship with God, of being told exactly what to do or telling people exactly what to do, I think we are going to run into some ongoing difficulties. Not least of which, because our relationship with God doesn't really provide the opportunity for us to tell people exactly what to do. And as I'm sure you've noticed, for the most part, God doesn't tell us exactly what to do. There are some things that are pretty clear. Don't murder people is about as clear as it can get. But what time you should leave for church in the morning, the Bible doesn't tell you that. Where you should sit when you get here, the Bible doesn't tell you that. You're not being told exactly what to do. So maybe we need to step away from that servant-master dichotomy, which is a false one to begin with, and look rather at what Jesus is telling us. And Jesus is saying that when it comes down to it, servants do what they're told because they're servants. And that's the beginning and the end of it. When somebody's no longer a servant, if their boss tries to tell them what to do, they probably won't. But friends are different. And Jesus calls us to be friends. And he's saying that we're friends, not just because some pronouncement he's made, but because we're in an actual relationship with him. We like the idea of friends. We like having friends. But it's a slippery kind of word. There's an experiment you might want to do, and I commend it to you for your enjoyment if you're so inclined. Ask people how many friends they have, and just ask them that way and see what their answer is. Because some people will tell you how many Facebook friends they have. And if they are of a particular generation, it'll probably be in four figures that they have hundreds, even thousands of friends. And you ask other people, how many friends do you have? And they'll think, and they'll say, well, two, maybe three. And if you get these answers right back to back, you're going to think, well, there's something seriously wrong with one of these people. And the answer is no. What's wrong, if there's anything wrong, is the question, because it doesn't give enough detail. Facebook friends are friends. They are a particular kind of friend. And to say they're anything else is silly and tends to be dismissive. But are Facebook friends the kind of people that you call In the middle of the night when something catastrophic has happened? Well, perhaps they are. But I'm guessing that most of your Facebook friends aren't. Those people who respond with the two or three, they're talking about those lifelong friends, those who have a deep connection with. These are the people who, and I don't recommend you do this, but these are the kind of people who, when you call them up and say, I need help disposing of a body, they don't ask you how you got it, they just help. Most of us don't have very many friends like that. We have maybe a couple. What characterizes friendship, the friendship that Jesus is talking about, is stepping past the idea of having to be told what to do and knowing what to do. If a friend of yours calls you and says something terrible has happened, they expect you to know what to do, and you know what to do. When I called my friend John after I called 911 back in the 80s to tell him that my house was on fire, I didn't tell him to come over, but that's what he did. And that's what I needed him to do. I didn't have to tell him that. And it's not like he was going to come over and he had some kind of magical or superpower that allowed him to extinguish house fires. He couldn't do anything more for the fire by being there, but he sure could do a lot more for me. And he knew that that's what I needed without me telling him that, because we were friends, because we had spent time together, we'd gotten to know each other. We knew what needed to be done without being told. That doesn't mean we don't want to be told. And sometimes we need to be told. At the beginning of relationships, when we're figuring out what this means, sometimes it can take a while. There's very few men who, on the first year or two after their first child, don't want some pretty specific directions about what to do on Mother's Day. So what exactly do you want? Do you want breakfast in bed? Do you want flowers? Do you want brunch? Do you want us to leave you alone? You know, whatever it might be. Well, after a number of years, you don't need that exact, detailed instruction anymore, because your friendship in the in that particular relationship of being married, your friendship has grown, and you don't need to talk about all those things anymore. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I don't call you servants. He said, yes, you do what I want you to do, but you don't do it just because you're commanded. You're doing it because you know what needs to be done, because we're friends. When we're working on, say, building a deck with our friends, we don't insist that we get the same kind of breaks that a hired person would. And they don't insist that they get the same, if I'm the friend, the same level of expertise that a paid craftsperson would provide. But you're there to help them because they need help. And you do what needs to be done as best you can without having to wait for everything to be laid out for you. When you get together for coffee, you don't ask for an agenda first the way you might if an employer said, let's get together for coffee. Because you don't need one. Because you have a connection. And Jesus is saying, I'm not calling you servants anymore. If there's ever a time you were servants, it's not now. You know what I know. I've told you. I've taught you what it is I know. And I want you to do what you would do if I told you what to do without me having to tell you what to do. Which is tricky. It's easier to be a servant. It's easier to be told exactly what to do. But being a friend is better. And yes, we'll make mistakes. Of course we'll make mistakes. We make mistakes in our friendships. I don't think anybody who's been in a long-term relationship with anybody, whether it's a spouse, or a friend, family, or otherwise, who hasn't made some kind of a mistake that the other person says, oh, you should have known I don't like that, or I wanted to do this, whatever it might be. Of course we make mistakes. But we don't get fired. You can't fire your friends, no matter how much you might occasionally wish to. Friends are friends. It's different. The friendship transcends the mistakes that are made. And when Jesus says, you know what I need you to do, he's not saying because you've studied carefully the exam material. It's because you've spent time with me and you know. In the same way that long-term friends can walk into a room and know that their friend needs them to talk or not talk. tell jokes or to listen. How? There's no manual, there's no instruction sheet that's handed out. It's because you know, because you're in connection, you're in relationship. And Jesus says, this is what I want you to be. I do not want you to be a servant. I want you to be a friend. That's what we're called to this day in this text, is to realize that Jesus has taught us what we need so that we can do what is needed to be done without having everything spelled out for us. Not that he doesn't give us direction, because of course he does. So do our friends. Our friends don't expect us to know everything. They just expect us to know a lot of stuff about us, and we do. That's where the sermon title comes from. Not a servant. Not just because I personally happen to bristle at the notion of being a servant. That's just my issue. But because Jesus doesn't want servants. Jesus wants friends. Jesus wants people who work alongside him because they're friends with him. Jesus wants us to value the people of the world because he values the people of the world. Not because it's a checkbox on what we should do. There are all kinds of things that I now like that I didn't before because Heather liked them. And it's possible that when we first started, you know, eating whatever it was or doing whatever it might have been, I sort of gritted my teeth. But I don't anymore. There's a married couple who said that they would do everything that the other one wanted, not because the other one thought it was of particular value, but because the other person valued it. It had particular value. That's what our relationship with Jesus is like. Not that we're being told what to do, but because we want to do what he would do if he was here. That's what friends do. When my friends aren't in the room, I don't sit still for somebody saying poor things about them. I defend them because they're friends of mine, whether they'll ever know about it or not. I do what my friends would ask me to do if they thought they needed to ask me. And that's the relationship we can have with Jesus. It takes some work to be sure. It takes some listening to him. It takes spending time with him the same way that it does with the people in our lives. It might be convenient to become lifelong friends with somebody overnight, but it doesn't work that way. Lifelong friends take a lifetime. Jesus wants us to be those kind of friends. He's that kind of friend to us, and he wants us to be the same. Not to look at what the commandments, if you will, that we find in Scripture are onerous requirements that we're just going to grit our teeth and do, although maybe we need to do that with some of them at the beginning, but because we do them, because we know Jesus wants them done. He's asked us to do them, because that's what you do with your friends. You ask them to take care of things for you. You ask them to take care of the things they value when they're not there. And we do that because we're friends, and we do that with the world because we're friends with Jesus. We're not called to be servants. We're called to be so much more. And so on this day, every day of course as well, but on this day let's remind ourselves that Jesus asked us to be friends. Not servants. Amen.